Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code SPOTIFY for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
If you're an athlete, you know the greatest motivator of all is the fear of letting your teammates down. After all, a team is only as good as its weakest link. So you owe it to those wearing the same jersey as you to be your best every time you step on the field. That's why there's no vape in team. When you vape, you can expose your lungs to toxic chemicals that can damage your lungs. If you're a step behind, the team's a step behind. Brought to you by The Real Cost and the FDA.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
This episode is brought to you by Reese's Peanut Butter Cups. In breaking news, leading scientists worldwide are conducting experiments to determine if Reese's Peanut Butter Cups are the perfect combination of peanut butter and chocolate. However, it appears the study was inconclusive, as the scientists couldn't help but eat all the Reese's. Because when you want something sweet, you can't do better than Reese's. Find Reese's now at a store near you.
Welcome to another episode of the Nintendo PowerCast. I'm your host, N64 Josh, for this Nintendo News Minute. Before we jump into this, guys, I'm currently wearing my Mario Kart t-shirt and the Mario Kart podcast, The Dirt. That's what you got to search for right now because it's not really showing up for anything. But if you type Mario Kart podcast, The Dirt, or The Dirt Mario Kart podcast, it will show up in your search results. I checked Apple, Spotify, Pocket Cast, iHeartRadio, Google Podcasts, Amazon, wherever you listen, you should be able to find the first episode, the pilot episode. And it's a conversational episode with myself and Firestone talking about a 2v2 Mogi that we did. And we don't even know what I had to look up that word on the Urban Dictionary to find out what it meant. And so it's a good time. It's a lot of fun. That show in particular is going to have tips and tricks and talking about the upcoming game, talking about the competitive scene, digging more into the esports side of thing. There's so much to unpack with Mario Kart, and I'm very, very excited. So go subscribe. I have a favor. Okay. In order to get up the ranks quickly, if you're listening on Apple, go listen to the show and leave a review. That would mean the world to me. Honestly, if you could do that, that would mean so, so much. And if you're listening on Spotify, you can also leave a review there as well. I think it's just through star rating, and I would greatly, greatly appreciate that. So a lot of fun stuff to come. It's going to be very community focused, where we get together and we race and chat and Discord and streams and all the stuff. So cannot wait for everything that's going to come about from that. So go check out The Dirt Mario Kart podcast and stay tuned for many, many more. Last thing I want to let you guys know about is there's going to be exclusive shows for subscribers. The first one is going to drop tomorrow, and it is going to be like, but behind the scenes Nintendo is kind of the theme of the show. We're going to be taking a look at the behind the scenes of, you know, the development of different games and, you know, some of the history behind it and that kind of stuff. So if you sub to Spotify or Apple, you have access to that show. It's $4.99 a month, and you get there's no more ads. So every episode will be ad free, and you will also get this exclusive show, Nintendo, behind the scenes Nintendo. And so I'm not sure that that's just the name. I don't have a set in stone name yet, but essentially we're going to be taking a look at the history and development, all that kind of fun stuff. So really looking forward to that. The first exclusive episode drops tomorrow. With that, let's jump into the news. Big news today. Analyst predicts the Switch 2 will be an iterative evolution and will cost $400. Interesting. We're gonna dive into this with the crew on NPC because there's a whole lot to unpack here. Curious about their thoughts, so we will really, really dive in when we get together to talk about this. But we'll kind of breeze over it. I'll throw out some of my thoughts, of course. And if you guys have your voice heard, throw it in the Discord at NPC questions. Tag me just so I make sure I can see it, and we'll read them on tomorrow's show. But what do you think about the Switch not being, like, according to this analyst, it's not going to be a major leap, you know? So potentially not 4K, not 120 frames, not up to par with like the Series X and the PS5 or the Series S. I don't know that many of us are expecting that, but let's take a look at the article here. It says an analyst has predicted that Nintendo's next console will be an iterative evolution on the current Switch and will cost $400 at launch. Oh, and it's apparently also coming this year. Speaking via a predictions roundup over at GameIndustry.biz, Dr. Serkan Toto, CEO of game industry consultancy firm Catan Games, has also predicted that the console's games will be increased to a price to $70, bringing them in line with the recent gradual changes made to PS5 and Xbox games. Finally, he's quite adamant that with Pokemon being associated with handheld gaming, the Switch 2 will at the very least maintain the portability of the current console. I don't see them leaving that anytime soon, especially with so many people in the industry following Steam. And I mean, I'm currently selling on my TikTok shop this thing called a G8, made by a company called GameSir, where you literally just put your phone in. And if you guys are seeing the video right now, it looks like a Super Nintendo controller crossed over with an Xbox controller. And you play on your phone screen. So you can do like Xbox, cloud gaming or Call of Duty Mobile, probably even Madden. And it's a really cool piece of hardware. But A lot of companies are going the direction that, you know, we want to play handheld. I mean, if we've been in the Nintendo ecosystem a long time, if you're anything like me, I mean, I've got Game Boys all around me. I've got DSs, 3DSs, all the above. I've always wanted the chance to be able to game portably. And the Switch, of course, really kind of like set the bar for what is possible with handheld gaming. Now, some of you might disagree and say it was Game Gear all the way back in the day, maybe the Atari Lynx. I think that's what it was called. but the Switch really nailed it. I've even been playing my Switch Lite more recently, but I've been playing a little more Vampire Survivors, and it just sits by my bed, and I kind of play that, or I do a little time trials on Mario Kart right on my Switch Lite. And portable gaming has been a thing for me for a very, very long time. So it makes sense that it's not going to go anywhere. Here's the quote from Toto. It says, this time is finally here for a Switch successor. And even though I can say a pro model actually did exist, certain developers were already working with the dev kit, I believe the next hardware will drop next year, 2024, for $400. There's a high chance that the games will cost more too, which is $70. The next system is also likely to be an iteration rather than a revolution. Nintendo might add some bells and whistles to the device, but it will be similar to the current Switch. And because there is Pokemon and Pokemon is associated with handheld gaming, there's no way on earth Nintendo will drop that portability feature for their next big thing. The article continues, says, phew, that sounds pretty good, doesn't it? Well, price increase aside anyway, we're quite keen on the next console, keeping the general concept of the Switch intact, as we're sure many of you fine folks are. And I definitely am. No question there. Like, keep the Switch, the very similar, like, of course, there's some things that we could fix. We're going to dig into that, talking about like Joy-Con drift and some other things, but keep the same, keep it going. Now, maybe there's a possibility that like they do strictly a home console version, and then the Switch version that's also portable, and then maybe the Lite version. Who knows? Give themselves three SKUs, but all taking the same games. Another possibility there. And I think we're going to see Nintendo follow a similar route as far as like, here's the first one, and then here's the Lite, and then here's the Pro. And I've been saying from the beginning of the Switch, I can't see them going too far away from this tablet design for a while. It's cheap tech. We're using older tech. They're getting, you know, especially they hit a $400 price point. I'm assuming they're still going to be in profit because they typically are. And I still think it's going to be good enough for what we're wanting to do with it. You know, will third parties be able to keep up that are making games on the PS5 and the series? I don't know. From my understanding, developers are having a hard time with those systems as it is. Like, as we get, you know, higher resolution and higher frame rates, I still hear all the time about games coming in at, you know, 30 FPS and not hitting the highest resolution and having to scale back. Like, I feel like it's forever a give and take. And, you know, so will we see something like, you know, Starfield running on the Switch? Very unlikely. Will we see the same version of Call of Duty running on Switch? Very unlikely. But that doesn't mean we can't get Switch specific versions of these games, as long as the install base is there for the companies to want to do that. You know, I'll end with this as we move on to the next piece, but Call of Duty wasn't on Switch, but Call of Duty Mobile, which is one of the games I will play with, like that game, the G8, the game sir that I was telling you about, Call of Duty Mobile is fantastic. Like, now I probably really like it because when you play with a controller in that game, you absolutely dominate everybody. So, you know, but if Call of Duty Mobile made its way to the Switch, you've got Warzone, you've got Call of Duty like Team Deathmatch, and I think there's one other game mode as well. And like, that would be a fantastic title for the Switch. I assume it would run there. That being said, there's so many more mobile devices out there that I don't even know that, you know, Call of Duty Mobile is even looking at the amount of Switches, because it may not move the needle all that much. That's crazy to say, because it's like, well, that's a million units. Yeah, but the amount of phones far surpasses. From my understanding, there's more phones out than there are people on the earth as far. So like, it's such a crazy number and such a lucrative market just to be on mobile. But you know, for those of us that love playing on the Switch, love the form factor, all the above, hopefully we will see some games that you know, that we didn't see the last time around on the Switch. Call of Duty, Madden, some of those games, because I can tell you right now, I would be playing a lot of Madden if it was on the Switch and it was better than FIFA. That's the trick, though. It really needs to be better than FIFA. So we're going to dig way more into this on tomorrow's show, and a lot to talk about with the rumors of the Switch too. Well, Dave the Diver hits 3 million global sales. They put out a tweet saying 3 million global sales of Dave the Diver. Thank you so much for the support and love. And I'll be honest, I love seeing these indie games see this kind of success. You know, there's blood, sweat, and tears that goes into these games. You could tell just from the pixel art alone, like, this is no small endeavor, right? And I'll be honest, I haven't played the game, but you know, seeing it at the Game Awards, hearing about the crossover they're going to be doing. And, you know, I'm sure at the Game Awards, having that game on the stage probably moved the needle for them somewhat. Like, and I think it's great. You know, I just saw Johnny tweet about how he's loving indies right now. I've been playing Vampire Survivors a lot. Like, don't sleep on the indies. I need to check out Dave the Diver, especially with 3 million units. People are enjoying this one. So I need to check it out myself. And I'm loving the pixel art and everything I'm seeing on the article right now. Well, Hamster Corporation reveals its first arcade archives release of 2024. It says, stop the supercomputer, Zelda, in Mighty Guy. So this is one of those like top-down games. It's not something that I've ever played before, but here we go. From 1986, the year I started kindergarten, it says, Mighty Guy is an action game released by Nichibutsu in 1986. Use your psycho gun in addition to superhuman actions like punches, kicks, and beams to take down enemies and stop the massive supercomputer Zelda in its schemes and genetically modified humanity and take over the world. The Arcade Archive series has faithfully reproduced many classic arcade masterpieces. Players can change from various game settings, such as game difficulty, and also reproduce the atmosphere of arcade display settings at that time. Players can also compete against each other from all over the world with their high scores. Please enjoy the masterpiece that built a generation for video games. As normal, this latest Arcade Archives release will set you back $7.99. So, and it looks like, so Hamster Corporation put out a tweet and it says a sale is being held at the PS Store and Nintendo eShop. 11 titles from Arcade Archives and ACA Neo Geo series are 50% off. And this was from the 23rd. So I don't know if I see it. It may no longer be the case. But there is a chance if there's some of these that you want, like Samurai Showdown is on that list, and possibly a King of Fighters is what I'm seeing. So some fantastic titles that I've picked up a handful of them. Punch-Out and Donkey Kong, and I think Excitebike Versus, and I think even Super Mario Brothers Arcade, like just to name a few. And you know, so nice having those original ROMs in the collection. I absolutely love it. So if Mighty Guy is something you remember playing as a kid, go pick it up on your Switch. Well, Nintendo shares most played Switch games in 2023 for Europe. Here we go. Here's the list. Fortnite, number one. The Legend of Zelda Tears of the Kingdom, Minecraft, Mario Kart 8 Deluxe, Animal Crossing New Horizons, Super Mario Bros. Wonder, Pokemon Scarlet, Pokemon Violet, Rocket League, Fall Guys, Super Mario Odyssey, Super Smash Bros. Ultimate, Hogwarts Legacy, EA Sports FC 24, New Super Mario Bros. U Deluxe, Pokemon Unite, Nintendo Switch Sports, Splatoon 3, Mario Party Superstars, Super Mario 3D World and Bowser's Fury, and Disney's Dream Light Valley. So it says Nintendo recently shared the list via the Switch News Channel featuring the system's most played games in Europe last year. This same list has also been on the Switch Australia and New Zealand news feeds as well. As you might have already guessed, a lot of major first-party releases are included along with some of the biggest third-party and free-to-play titles. And it goes on to say it includes Zelda, Super Mario, Fortnite, Pokemon, and Minecraft. So it is worth noting that that list is not in any chronological order. So they didn't reveal how much time was played with each. So keep that in mind. It doesn't, I know I made it sound at the top like that Fortnite was number one, but that isn't necessarily the case. Although I'm guessing it probably is. I could be wrong, but I'm guessing it probably is. Well, Hideki Kamiya hopes to return to video games, the video game industry in 2024. He says, I want a job making games. So last year, the famous Japanese video game developer, Hideki Kamiya, decided to leave Platinum Games, mentioning at the time how he felt the company was heading in a different direction from his own beliefs as a developer. If you're wondering what's next for the developer of series like Bayonetta, he's now provided an update mentioning that he now hopes to return to games, the games industry in 2024. And here's what he had to say to Japanese outlet Famitsu. I want to get a job making games so that I can have a meal. I love this guy already. So, but for real, I mean, games like Bayonetta, absolutely a huge fan of those. You know, his most recent game was Bayonetta Origins, Cereza and the Lost Demon, which arrived on Switch last March. It says, in a video from Platinum Games at the end of last year, one segment highlighted Kamiya walking out, simply saying he's over it. You can see this recap video in our previous story here on Nintendo Life. So you can check that out. But I love that his quote is just like, I want to get a job making games so that I can have a meal. He just wants to eat. He wants to get back to eating. So really, really funny stuff there. And hopefully he does find something. And speaking of Bayonetta, there is a rumor that Bayonetta Trilogy will be releasing on Switch 2. So this is from MyNintendoNews.com. It says the 2023 holiday season may be coming to an end very soon, and the new year arrives in just a couple days. But that hasn't stopped the Switch 2 rumor mill from churning out at a steady pace. In fact, new Switch 2 rumor has recently appeared online that may be very interesting to fans of the Bayonetta games. You see, leaker N. Weedle has mentioned on Twitter that the Nintendo Switch successor will be getting a Bayonetta trilogy contained all three main titles. The trilogy will have visual and performance enhancements, including HDR. N. Weedle also thinks that that Nintendo will announce the Switch 2 before the end of March. If you don't know who N. Weedle is or how credible they are, they have leaked the existence of multiple games, including Metroid Dread and Baiten Kaitos Remaster. If you want to see Enweedle's tweet talking about Bayonetta Trilogy, you can do so down below. And it looks like, well, it's not in English, so I won't even try to read it. But like the article said, good chance. And I mean, HDR, we haven't really heard much on that front, but that's a step in the right direction for making the games look beautiful. Is ray tracing going to be a thing? How's Mario Kart going to look? That's really the main question I have. I just want to know how Mario Kart's going to look. But Bayonetta Trilogy on the Switch 2, totally, that seems very, very, very possible. And silly me, but I will probably double dip again just because I'm a fan and I want to have it on the newest system in case it isn't backwards compatible. We'll just have to wait and see though. So this is kind of interesting. A teen prodigy shatters Tetris records, first human to beat the game. It says, in a stunning achievement that has the game community buzzing, 13-year-old Willis Gibson, known as Blue Scuddy on YouTube, has become the first human player to conquer Nintendo's iconic video game Tetris. Gibson's remarkable feat, captured on his YouTube channel, showcases the moment he reached the unprecedented level 157, causing the game to crash after 38 intense minutes of gameplay. Gibson's journey into Tetris mastery began at age 11, and he has since participated in various gaming tournaments, including the 2023 Classic Tetris World Championships, where he secured a third-place finish. The teenager's passion for the game has now culminated in a groundbreaking accomplishment that defied long-standing beliefs within the gaming community. Tetris, created in 1984 by Soviet engineer Alex Pachinov, I think I said it right, gained immense popularity after its release on the Nintendo Entertainment System and Game Boy in 1989. Traditionally, players believed it was only possible to play up to level 29 until a few years ago. Gibson's achievement at level 157 has shattered this preconception. In addition, beating the game, Gibson claims to have broken the overall score record and three other Tetris World records. This remarkable accomplishment has sparked a new wave of enthusiasm within the gaming community, with players across platforms and consoles attempting to surpass the teenager's records. Many are documenting their endeavors on social media and video game streaming platforms. This is insanity. This is really, really insane. And it is going to take me over to YouTube here. Let's see. The true kill screen. Okay. Let's see the true kill screen. There's going to be an ad, but we're going to fast forward to the end of this thing. I want to see what happens here. So level 156, the game is just absolutely screaming. 157. Let's see here. So it won't go to 158. He killed it. It shows him It shows him killing it. The game just crashed. It stopped. The true kill screen. That's something right there. That is amazing. So very, very cool to see. And he's pumped. He is very excited. You can see in the video, very, very excited. So love reading about stuff like that and just seeing, you know, I love like speed runs and world records, all that kind of stuff when it comes to gaming, because it, you know, it's stuff like, I would be willing to bet the developers of Tetris on the NES or Game Boy never imagined somebody would end up getting that far. Never imagined it. And now here we are, level 157 in Tetris. If you guys want to see how tough it is, fire up Tetris. If you got Nintendo Switch Online, the Game Boy has the original Tetris. Fire it up, put it on the hardest difficulty and see what it's like. It doesn't mess around. It does not mess around. So be ready. Well, in Japan, Dragon Quest Monsters The Dark Prince is still sold out at many stores. It seems as though Japanese gamers cannot get enough of Dragon Quest Monsters The Dark Prince, as the game continues to be difficult to find in the Land of the Rising Sun, with many stores sold out of physical copies. Square Enix commented on the situation on social media a few months back and recommended purchasing it digitally due to increased demand. Hopefully more physical stock will arrive soon. And there is a tweet here. It says, physical copies of Dragon Quest Monsters The Dark Prince are still sold out at many stores in Japan. Now, I'm not going to lie. I have a collection of Dragon Quest stuff. You guys, I've purchased a number of them on the Switch, like the old school games. There's something I've always kind of, I don't know why, but I remember like playing them as a kid, not really understanding them. I was like, there's not enough action here. What is happening? Why is this fun? And now, like, that I kind of have a new love for RPGs, although it's hard for me to spend as much time as I would like on them. I know at some point in my life, I'm finally going to slow down and I'm going to be able to enjoy some of these RPGs. And I kind of want to make sure I have a decent collection of the Dragon Quest games, because I have a feeling I'm going to really, really enjoy them. I'm really curious now about Dragon Quest Monsters, The Dark Prince, and I may have to pick it up. So we'll just wait and see. But interesting to find out that the physical copies are sold out in Japan. I find it very, very interesting and also amazing. So good on them for putting out something that people want. Hopefully they continue to get the physical copies out there, because I know it is important to some people to not just have that digital library, but to have that physical media in their hands. Prince of Persia, Lost Crown producer, didn't want to make a Prince of Persia he wasn't proud of. Game Informer has had some hands-on time with the intriguing 2D adventure Prince of Persia, The Lost Crown, and has written an informative hands-on preview, as well as interviewing key staff about the project, which apparently didn't come down from on high from Ubisoft. Instead, a dedicated team with expertise was put together for the project, and thankfully, the employees they wanted were free for the project. The senior producer of the game, Abdelhak, I think, El Guess, told Game Informer that he didn't want to do any Prince of Persia that I wouldn't be proud of. A demo for the game should be available on the 11th of January. We talked about that recently. Make sure to go and check that out. The article continues, The Lost Crown wasn't an assignment that came down on high from Ubisoft, but it was instead directed by the team Ratty helped put together for the game. It's fully us. It's not a command, Ratty says. The moment just happened to be right. The people Ratty wanted on the team with the applicable skills, like expertise in platforming and world building, were finally available within Ubisoft. I didn't want to do any Prince of Persia that I wouldn't be proud of, senior producer Abdelhak El-Guess says, also citing having the right people be available at the right time be a major factor. Again, guys, I've played the demo. Do not sleep on Prince of Persia. Check out the demo for yourself. If you are a fan of Metroidvania style games, we're in for a treat with this one, and it'll be here before you know it. And again, check the demo out January 11th. Well, this will excite some of you, okay? Mother account being Earthbound, right? Says plans are being made for Mother 2 30th anniversary. It says it's hard to believe, but this year marks the Mother's 2 30th anniversary. So of course, there's a reason to celebrate. The official account for the series says that they are busy preparing various plans for the year ahead, which should spark fans' interest. They wouldn't divulge all the details, so we will have to wait and see what transpires. Here's a translation of their post on X. It says, Happy New Year. The year 2024 marks the 30th anniversary of the release of Mother 2. We will mark the 30th anniversary of the release of Mother 2. Anniversary of Mother 2 will mark the 30th anniversary of the release of Mother 2. We are preparing various plans for the year ahead. Let's enjoy this year together. We look forward to your continued support. And then there's a very 8-bit, 16-bit looking picture that says Mother 2 anniversary since 1994. So definitely 16-bit. And what does that mean? What does this mean? And what can we expect? I know this is a series. Again, I need to check. I want to put some time in. I want to try Earthbound and see if it's my cup of tea or not. And I know for a lot of people, it's a game they play once a year. It's a pretty odd game from my understanding, but it's still one that's always kind of piqued my interest. And I know there's a lot of people that really, really love it. And so it's one maybe this will be my year. Who knows? To check out Earthbound and potentially Mother 2 for its 30th anniversary. Well, that is going to do it for this episode of the Nintendo Powercast. And just a quick reminder, go and check out the Dirt Mario Kart podcast. Just type that in on your search bar. If you guys can leave me a review on iTunes and Spotify, I greatly appreciate it. It will help boost the show into the feed for everybody to find that is looking for some Mario Kart content. And if you want to get in with the community, I'm shooting for Wednesdays at 5 p.m. I had a family thing come up tonight as we were going to start and I wasn't able to do it, but going forward, Wednesdays at 5, some days I'll be in there, some days I won't, but I just want to get people talking and communicating and making friends and getting to know each other and eventually doing some competitive Mario Kart, because it's I'm honestly really addicted right now. So thanks again so much for listening, you guys, and we'll see you in the next one. Bye now.